Good morning. I'm going to share the word with you this morning. I'm excited about that. So I'm really thankful that you came to church because I know there's many people away for the long weekend. So thank you so much for being here. Otherwise, I had to preach at my husband. You know, that's not so good. We've been sharing about Link Up. For those of you who have been in church in the last 7 weeks, maybe you're visiting today for the first time, that's fine. We've just been spending time on our relationship with the Lord because we just realize this is crucial for us, and we can never get away from that, and that's actually making or breaking our lives. Okay, you can be successful in every other area in your life, but we realize this: the success we have in life is, as a Christian, is directly connected with our relationship with the Lord. Okay, so we've just spent time talking about how to connect with the Lord, what can break that connection, how to. Andre had a nice sermon last week about Bible study. For those of you who maybe missed that and are interested in that, you can get it from the website. And today I'm just going to focus on the other part of Link Up, not with God, but with one another. Okay, because the Bible says the first commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Okay, you can mix it up, it doesn't matter. And then Jesus said, and the second one is what? Love your neighbor as yourself. Okay, this is all of us. We need to love each other. And you know, there's another portion of scripture that says it's by the love between us that people will recognize that we are God's disciples. And there's something about, you know, I've been thinking about it this week, the love between Christians that is inspiring, or supposed to be inspiring. Maybe it's not always. But there's something, if we really connect, if we really link up with one another, it gives people hope. It gives people, you know, just, you know, it's inspiring. It helps people to believe that God might just be real if they look at our lives and they see a connection between us. But unfortunately, this is something that's often missing in the church. The whole thing about linking up with one another. I mean, many people will just stay at home and watch TBN. Hey, they don't believe in church anymore because they got hurt in relationships. And they love God, and they believe in God, and they even have a relationship with the Lord. But there's something when it comes to church and people in the church that they just want to avoid that. So they stay at home and they watch God TV. And that is good and fine, but there's still, for those people, there would be something missing. Because God says, there's two commandments I give you. The one is to love God, and the one is to love people. And you can't really love people through a television, hey? You can try. So I'm gonna focus on that, and I want to take you to a scripture, because maybe you think, so how do we get to a place then of loving one another? How do we link up as brothers and sisters? How do we really link up with one another? So I want to take you to a scripture in Ephesians 4. You can turn there with me if you want to. Ephesians 4:16. I'm gonna read from the New Living Translation, but you can follow in any translation that you have. Ephesians 4:16. It says, He that is God, or Jesus, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. And as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow, so that the whole body... Thank you, Dion. Okay, let's start again, eh? Ephesians 4:16. He makes the whole body fit. Is that your audio Bible? Your BlackBerry still going on? Okay, let's come back to Ephesians 4:16. It says, He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, and each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. Healthy and growing and full of love. And I realized there's something about being yourself. Okay, the Bible says we need to do our own special work. But for me, that just means being yourself. Not trying to be like anybody else, not comparing yourself, not feeling that you're not good enough because you can't sing like a listener or you can't do this. You know, you comparing and competing and judging, you know, if that is not in the church, then we can truly come to a place of really loving. And the Bible says if we do our own special work, and as I say, I just replace it with if we all are ourselves, then the church can be healthy and we can grow and we can be full of love. Okay, are you all still with me? So I just want you to imagine your body parts, okay? If your foot, for example, your foot is now all unhappy because it's a foot. Okay, he wants to be the hand. He wants to do the writing. Or he wants to play tennis. Okay, he doesn't want to walk. He's unhappy. Now just picture that. Okay, your body wouldn't be able to grow or be healthy. There wouldn't be harmony. There's going to be strife all the time. Or your ear is very unhappy because he doesn't want to listen. He wants to talk. Okay, just picture. Use your imagination, okay? I need you to help me this morning. God created our body for us to understand the body of Christ because there's so many similarities. And all of us are either an ear or a mouth or a foot. You know, and maybe you think, oh, I don't know what I am. You know, maybe I'm the pinky. You know, is this? So I want to take you to a few body parts. I read up about this. And it's fascinating to see how important things are in your body that is, you know, it seems really unnecessary. So first I want to take you to a scripture in 1 Corinthians 12. Then I'm going to tell you about a few body parts that you have, the function. I'm going to surprise you this morning. 1 Corinthians 12 is 18 to 22. Once again, going to read in the New Living Translation. It says, but our bodies have many parts, and God has put each part just where he wants it. Okay, imagine just like one foot hopping around. You know, the Bible says how strange a body would be if it had only one part. Okay, so once again, use your imagination. Okay, just imagine like one head. A person is just a head. And they're hopping around, and then you get a few foot hopping, you know, walking around, then you get a few, ears floating around. You know, it wouldn't make sense. And in the same way, it wouldn't make sense if we're in the body of Christ, if we're all preaching, or if we're all teaching, or if we're all in the worship team, or if we're all doing the sound, or if we're all packing the chairs, or if we just all doing the exact same thing. It's not going to work. Okay, so God cleverly designed our bodies, but he also cleverly distributed gifts in the church for all of our benefits. Okay, so we don't have to compare. We don't have to compete. The scripture goes on to say, yes, there are many parts, but one body. And the eye can never say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head can't say to the feet, I don't need you. In fact, now this is the part I want you to listen to. In fact, some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Okay, I'm gonna come now of exactly how to link up with one another, but this is crucial to understand this. Some parts of the body that seem weakest and least important are actually the most necessary. Okay, so I want you to all wiggle your big toe. Okay, is it the big toe or the great toe? The big. Okay, things I read confused me because people said, no, it's commonly called the great toe. It sounds a bit funny. Okay, your big toe. Wiggle your big toe. Hopefully you all have a big toe. You know what? Your big toe is similar to the fourth leg of a coffee table. Now, this is not a coffee table, but this is a chair. So if this one is missing, if you're all sitting on a chair with only three legs, okay, it's not going to work. Okay? This is the function of your big toe. It helps you to balance. So just take your two big toes away, and you're not going to balance. Okay? It's similar to the fourth leg on a coffee table or a chair. Interesting, eh? It helps you to maintain balance. Your pinky, your little finger, many people think that's just a decorative accessory, you know? You know, when you drink tea, you have to like hold it. You know, like many guys think that lettuce is just, you know, decorative. It's not there to eat. It's just, you have it for the mooigheid. Your pinky, it relates to 50% of your hand strength. Did you know that? That's what hand therapists say. It relates to 50%. So take away this one, and 50% of your hand strength is gone. Interesting, eh? Take this away. I don't know how it works, but this is what the clever people say who know what they're talking about. Something else. The hair in your nose. Okay, let's get you all uncomfortable. The nasal hair, it keeps certain objects from entering to your throat, which can make you sick. And if you get sick, you can die. Okay, so your nasal... Obviously, you can die if you get sick. Your nasal hair keeps you from dying. Wow. Have you ever thought about that? You know, it's really funny. If you go into like all your different body parts and what the use is, it's fascinating. It's fascinating. And, you know, in the church, all of us have a certain idea of what is really important. You know, maybe you think the preacher or the person leading worship, those two people, you know. God is really happy because they're doing so much for God. And, you know, maybe you think, no, if you go to prayer meeting every week, those people who go to prayer meeting every week, they are really amazing. You know, Joyce Meyer, she tells a story. She has two daughters, and she said that one daughter God, at a certain stage, was releasing also to preach and to teach in the church. And, you know, for those of you who know Joyce Meyer, she's really, you know, driven, going for God. She's an international speaker and author. She wrote more than 90 books. And she's a remarkable woman. But she said she wanted all her children to be in the ministry. You know, she just wanted, they must be sorted out and on fire for God. And her one daughter just wanted to stay at home, and she wanted to raise her children. She wasn't interested in preaching or doing anything in church necessarily, or the things that Joyce Meyer wanted her to do. And she said God had to convince her, or not convince her, but God showed her that her one daughter is not more spiritual than the other. Again, we all have our boxes, eh? We all have our idea of what is really pleasing God, what is really spiritual, what is really in church. I'm talking about the body of Christ now. What is really important? So maybe if you think, maybe you're the big toe or the pinky, maybe you're nasal, maybe you're just one nasal hair, okay? Maybe not, but maybe you are, and you think, what on earth do I mean to God or to the church? But the problem is, if you are a nasal hair, but you want to be the foot, or you want to be the mouth, okay, you want to be the mouth, you don't want to be the little hair, you're going to miss what God has for you. There's going to be a gap in the body of Christ. Okay, are you with me? Sometimes we just so desire to be like somebody else in the church. And we're not ourselves. So we're not doing our own special work. We're not the person God created us to be. And in the process, the church can't grow. It's unhealthy. And most important, there's not love between us. Because secretly in our hearts, we're comparing and we're competing. You know, I always remember Pastor Lucille. She's Pastor Fred's wife. They are the senior pastors in Stellenbosch. I think she's still doing it, but she would just announce when we were still students, now she's going to fast for 3 weeks. She's going to fast for 3 weeks. And for those of you who want to join me, you can join me. She'll just announce from the stage. And I think, what? Then, you know, everything goes through my head, and I think I would never, ever be able to be a pastor's wife if that is the requirement. You know, I thought, You know, I looked at her and I thought, this is how I must be when one day, maybe, you know, because I was really involved in the church and I loved God. And it wasn't obviously at that stage an option for me to be that. But I just thought never, ever would I be able to do that. You know, and I put her in a box and I thought, if you are a pastor's wife, this is what is required of you. You must be able to fast for 3 weeks. And you must announce it to the whole church. And you must be, you know, superhero, super pastor's wife. And, you know, God just showed me, you know, this is my own idea. This is my own box. You know, in show form, there's very few pastor's wives who would preach. And this is also something that maybe you think, okay, now Sonika is doing this, and I would never be able to do that, so I can't be a pastor's wife, which is nonsense. Okay, it's our own idea, it's our own perception. And I just want to shake that perceptions of you this morning, because sometimes, because a certain person is doing something in a certain position, you think you would never be able to do that. A cell facilitator, for example. Somebody is guiding the cell in a certain way, and you think, I would never be able to do it like that person, so I can't do it. Okay? And in the process, we're not doing our own special work. We're just putting ourselves in a box. We put everybody else in a box. We're not flourishing. And there's not real love, because we're either afraid, or we're comparing, or we're striving. And God's love, just his divine, supernatural love between us, can't flow, because we're not doing our own special work. You know, and I realize that some people will spend more time worshiping God. Some people will spend more time praying, because that is their own special work. And we all must pray, and we all must worship God, and we all must read the Bible. Okay, but some people are students of the Word. They just love the Bible. They want to teach, maybe. So they would spend more time in the Word. Okay? So if you, as an individual, compare yourself to the worshiper, to the real worshiper who wants to minister to God in that area, the person who's passionate about praying, the person who's passionate about the Word. You know, sometimes we think, I must just be everything, you know. I must pray 4 hours a day, and I must read the Word 2 hours a day, and I must, you know, we come to a point where we don't find our place, and in the process, we're not ourselves. Okay, we're not ourselves. And not only that, we easily judge. We easily judge. So if you spend 2 hours per day reading the Bible, it's awesome. Okay, but then we can easily say, everybody must do that, because I'm doing it. I make time, I get up early, and I do that. And as I say, we all have to, okay, we all have to spend time in the Word. But I'm talking about the person, your own special work, what God has designed you to do, is maybe to be in the worship team, or to teach the words. And then obviously you're going to spend a bit more time in that area, okay? Even though we should all be worshippers, we should all be reading the Word, but sometimes we compare ourselves to those people whose almost their speciality is to do that, and we just feel so freaked out, and we feel we'll never be able to do that, okay? So instead of doing what God has called you to do, you're either doing nothing because it's just too much for you, or you start doing so many things, but it's not really what God wants you to do. Okay. And, you know, if all of us just do that, as I said, the church will be growing, it's going to be healthy, and there's going to be love. And this is what I want to come to. How do we link up with one another? We spoke about linking up with God, connecting with the Lord. So how do we link up with one another in the context of doing our own special work, in the context of being you? Not being anybody else, being you. Okay, let me take you to a scripture in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25. I want you to see if you can identify how we're going to link up. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 to 26. Okay, there's two things I want you to identify, and this is what I want to talk about. This makes for harmony among the members, so that all the members care for one another. And if one part suffers, all the parts suffer with it. And if one part is honored, all the parts are glad. So how are we going to link up? Care, and what else? We have to care for one another. That's how we link up. Carries one another's burdens, okay? I'm looking for a word. Suffering. Celebrate one another. Thanks, Dion. Celebrate. He's making up now. God showed me two things, and there's obviously many other ways, okay? But I believe if we're going to celebrate one another, and if we're going to care for one another, there's going to be love. And I believe it's only possible to really do that if we are ourselves. If we each of us do our own special work, because then we would be able to celebrate somebody else's special work. We would be able to really care because you are who you are. You are whom God has made you to be. I'm gonna read you another scripture, and then I'm going to talk about those two things. Romans 15, verse 5 and 6. It says, now may the God who gives the power of patient endurance and who supplies encouragement. Okay? We first of all receive encouragement from the Lord, that he may grant you to live in such mutual harmony and in such full sympathy with one another, in accord with Christ Jesus. Okay, we can skip the rest. We can skip the rest. God provides encouragement for us. And if we receive that, if we receive the encouragement from the Lord, we would be able to live in mutual harmony and in full sympathy with one another. So there's something about sympathy and also encouragement, caring and celebrating, that goes together. Okay? So let's talk about celebrating first. I'm just going to talk about celebrating each other and caring for each other. Okay? As in order for us to link up, in order for us to really show the world that there's love and that Jesus is real. Romans 15, verse 1 to 3. This is in the Amplified. Romans 15, verse 1 to 3. We were strong in our convictions. I'm going to talk about celebrating, and there's two components we need to get, okay, in terms of celebrating. We are strong in our convictions and of robust faith, or to bear with the failings and the frailties and the tender scruples of the weak. We need to bear with those who are not so strong. We who are strong in our convictions and robust faith, we ought to bear with the failings and the frailties of those who are weak. This is the first part of celebrating, because often, if you are strong in an area, you can be easily very judgmental in that same area when you look at other people. Okay, I'm gonna give you an example now from my own life. And the second part, let each one of us make it a practice to please or make happy. Let each one of us make it a practice to make happy his neighbor. This is all of us, okay? This is fellow brothers and sisters. To make happy his neighbor for his good and for his true welfare, to edify him, to strengthen him and build him up spiritually. So there's two things when it comes to celebrating each other. First of all, if you are strong in an area, if I am strong in an area, I need to learn not to judge. I need to learn to celebrate every little step of somebody on this journey. Okay, and the second part is we need to learn how to strengthen, how to edify, how to build up one another. Okay, because we can sometimes we build up each other, but we also judge. And then it breaks down the building up. We build up, but then we judge, and then it cancels all the good work. Something from my own life, which I need to check all the time. I think I was born like this, to to plan my life. Okay, my life doesn't go like this. It goes like this. Or let me rather say, I try to plan my life to go like this. You know, I don't rush to the shop 5 minutes before a birthday party because I must get a present now. I just buy like lots of presents and then have it in my home. Not always. I try to do that. You know, I freeze my milk in the freezer, and then if there's a crisis, I take the milk out, okay? This is two silly examples, but I plan my life, so I've never studied through the night, never, not even at varsity. So, you know, there's lots of benefits to this kind of, for those of you like me, there's lots of benefits, there's lots of negative things as well, okay? Because I easily stress if, you know, I have my plans and everything's worked out, and now somebody or something now comes and messes up all my planning. You know, I remember working at PwC, it's an auditing firm, and I would plan the whole audit, you know. I would plan everything, and then the audit partner just comes in with some other bright idea right at the end, messing up, you know, the whole thing. You know, making me work through the night, not through the night. I don't do that unless I'm forced. But, you know, it could have been so much easier if he just did his planning as well. That was my reasoning. But now I need to now make up, you know, for people who do things at the last minute. That was always my reasoning. So at varsity in the hostel, you know, when it's exam time, time and time again, other people come crying into my room. So sorry, we're not going to make it, you know, I'm so stressed, and we're not going to get through the work, and I'm stressing, and, you know, what am I going to do? And then, you know, the first time I would have sympathy, and then the second time I think, really? Don't you learn? Can't you just start, like, one day earlier, or like a week? Why did you go out last night? And now, you know, this is, okay, so I'm a pain, actually, okay, sorry about that. You know, then I think, oh, no, you just bring it upon yourself. You know, all the stressing now and crying, just plan a little bit better. Now, okay, this is, as I say, a strength and a weakness. You know, impulsive people enjoy life. Let me tell you, if everybody's like me, we can have like a lot of boring people around. Please don't be like me, okay? In your work situation, work on it, please. Otherwise, you're going to drive people crazy. In your, what? Is Aki Punky? Okay, please ignore David. Where was I now, David? Are you judging me? See, so I need to learn to give people grace in this area. And it sounds very stupid now, but sometimes, you know, it's hard for me. You know, when the whole thing about doing something, you know, the last minute, sometimes it freaks me out. It freaks me out because I'm like all, you know, even something nice can freak me out. You know, if it throws my whole program, you know, ask my poor husband, you know. Even something like a surprise or a like something nice, now it's you know quite devastating to me because it's now not all happening according to my routine. Yeah, please pray for me, okay? Just pray for me. And all I can say is that impulsive people really enjoy life. Sometimes they cry, you know, 8 o'clock at night when there's the exam tomorrow. I know that part as well. But you know, in general, those are the people who really just live life. You know, where people like me who just plan everything according to the minute, you know, sometimes don't enjoy life because we're so stressed about our little program. So there's pros and cons to every personality. And I need to learn in a situation where somebody should have actually maybe did it a week earlier. I need to give grace. You know, and somebody who's impulsive, just wants to do, let's just do this now. What? What? No, we can't do it now. We need to do it maybe an hour later or tomorrow. Tomorrow it will be okay for me. You see, that person must give my kind of personality grace. Okay? And in the same way, we can't judge each other, because often we think the strength is with you. But most often your strength is also your weakness. And we need to extend grace. We can't judge. Okay, we can't judge. And often, for those of you married, will know that your husband's strength would be your weakness. Okay? And vice versa. For those of you not married for too long, you'll discover that along the way. And you need to either decide you're going to celebrate the other person's strengths and not focus on the weakness, even though it's your strength. You don't struggle with it. I mean, so how difficult can it now be? You know, that thing that you struggle with. I don't struggle with it. Really, just get over yourself. You know, you can come into a mode of criticizing easily when you don't struggle with something specific. And in a marriage relationship, it can destroy your marriage. You can truly, honestly love one another, but because I'm strong in something and Andre is not, or he's strong in something and I'm not. And let me tell you, sometimes God put two people together with the exact opposite strengths and weaknesses. And this is why we need God in a friendship. This is why we need God in a marriage, because this is the way God designed it. Okay, so that everything is not just all easy, because then we don't need God, but we need him because we're different. Okay, let's talk about encouraging. So this is to celebrate one another. We can't judge. I'm almost finished. We can't judge. We need to give grace for one another. And then the second part is encourage. Ephesians 4:29, it says, let everything you say be good and helpful, so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. So I want you to evaluate yourself. Is everything that you say good and helpful? You know, sometimes, no, but my heart is right. I have good intentions. No, it's not good enough. Okay, it must be good and helpful, and the result must be, it must encourage. You know, Andre has a friend, good friend of his. Their motto is, listen to this, flattery will definitely get you somewhere. That's their motto. Flattery will definitely get you somewhere. They don't know where exactly, but it's going to get you somewhere. And they have this awesome relationship, you know, and they are accountable to one another, but it's not the primary reason for their friendship. They just pull each other up and tell each other how amazing they are. You must hear them sometimes. It's quite, quite funny. I think it's awesome. But within that safe environment of you are so amazing and, you know, you are so anointed, and he's also a pastor, okay, so they connect well in that area. There's space for accountability, because there's trust and there's celebration and there's encouragement all the time. And this is why we don't want to refer to accountability partners anymore in church. We want to refer to encouragement partners, because the accountability is just a small portion of our relationship. And we are automatically accountable to one another if the celebrating and the non-judgmentalism is in place. But if it is there, there's actually no space for accountability, because, you know, what is the person going to say if I come up with this thing? You know, it's maybe just going to judge me. So we need to cultivate grace, and we need to cultivate encouragement. And within that, God can come and bring true accountability between us. Let's just talk about caring quickly. Ephesians 4:32. Instead, be kind to each other, be tender-hearted, forgiving one another. So, in order to link up, in order to really link up, we must celebrate. And how do we celebrate? We don't judge, we encourage. And then the second one, we have to care. We need to celebrate, we need to care for one another. Kindness means to be considerate, to be generous, to be affectionate, and to be loving. And I want you to evaluate yourself this morning. You know, sometimes we're so busy doing church, and it's me included, it's Andrea included. You know, we just realized the last couple of weeks we visited a lady in the hospital. She was there for about 3 weeks and in prayer. And, you know, I just realized that, you know, we all need compassion, especially when we are sick. That is, when there's death in the family, when we are sick. Sickness is something, I'm not talking about a cold for 2 or 3 days, okay? We all get that, and we sometimes just need to survive through that. But if there's really sickness, and it can be sickness of heart, but it can be, it's often just a physical sickness, we need encouragement, we need support. I was sick about 2 months ago, I think, for about 2 weeks. And I 2 weeks, it doesn't sound long. For me, it was a lifetime of being sick. And, you know, 2 girls in the church, they brought me food. And for me, it was just the most amazing thing because I felt so sick. A girl is a doctor. She just came and see me. And there was a guy in church. I mean, all of you know who you are, but the one guy just sent a scripture of encouragement. And the one evening when Sias was here, Pastor Sias from Stellenbosch, I was so sick that weekend, I don't know how I survived it. But he just came to me and he said, "Sonika, I'm praying for you. And Andrea, I'm praying. I had a gap today at work and I just prayed for you." You know, for me, it meant the world. I can't explain to you. There was another girl just after church the one day. She came to me and she just gave me a hug and she said, "Sonika, how are you doing?" You know, and for me, it was literally God just using people to encourage me because I was at such low, mainly because I was physically feeling so bad. And I just realized in that time, we need to care for one another, especially in times of sickness, especially in times of trauma. We need to be there for one another. And sometimes we can feel, okay, you had now enough time. It's been 6 months. You know, we can so easily say, okay, you know, you've been in this position now for 3 months. Okay, you must go on with life now. Okay? And there is a certain truth to that. You know, sometimes, especially if we fall in self-pity, okay, self-pity is not going to benefit us, but I think often with encouragement and support and caring will get us on our feet again, okay, because sometimes we just need that with all of our heart. So let's just talk about encouragement partners. I'm going to finish now. We want to encourage everybody in the church to find himself or herself an encouragement partner. To find somebody, you know, and sometimes we're looking for this perfect person. You know, this perfect person is going to be exactly like me. Yes. You know what? Similarity or unity does not lie in similarity. Okay, I want you to think about that. Unity does not lie in similarity because then God would not put a man and a woman together to get married to unite them. Okay, because there's a lot of diversity in male and female. You would all know that. Okay? A lot. So, unity is actually in diversity. Because God designed it for us to be united. Not only people, but together with God to be united in spite of diversity. Okay? So, don't look for the perfect encouragement partner who is exactly like you and has exact same interests. It's not necessary. Okay, it's not necessary. So, what is the role? What is your role? If you find this person, what is your role? First of all, we need to point the person to Jesus. Because often, we can get so dependent on that person. Okay, we can get so dependent on the person for everything that we need. And we need to find somebody, we need to point the person to Jesus. Okay, we need to point at all times. You need to point the person to Jesus. You can't hear God's voice on behalf of that person. You can't give direction to that person. You can't give the person peace when it comes to, should I marry this person or not? You need to hear from God. Okay? So the idea of encouragement partner is not to fulfill God's role in your life. It's very important. Second of all, we spoke about that. Don't judge. If you see a blind spot, because that's going to happen often, if you see a blind spot, what do? You pray. In marriage, exactly the same. If you see a blind spot in your partner's life, you pray. And sometimes God's never going to release you to speak. Never. You're going to pray. And God's either going to sort it out himself, or maybe it's never going to sort out. Okay, and you're going to live with that. Because it will be good for you, probably. I don't know, depending on what it is. Sometimes God will give you a gap to speak. And then we do it with gentleness, with a lot of respect, a lot of sensitivity. And we pray for the right timing. Okay? Very important. We all have blind spots. We all have weaknesses. But it's not, if you're in a relationship or a friendship, the right thing is not to storm in there and to sort it out as quickly as possible, because you have the answer. You know it. You know, you've been through this. You know all the answers. You're standing. You're strong. It's not the right way. Okay. It's not going to encourage. It's not going to build up. And it might be just the thing that gets the person down again. Right? We pray, we pray, we pray. And if God releases us, we speak. Celebrate every next step. What I mean by that is, especially if you are strong in an area, we need to celebrate every next step of somebody who's maybe still struggling with that thing that you are strong in. Okay, let's just take a silly example. Say, for example, you want to stop smoking, okay, and you're down from 30 cigarettes to 20 per day. Praise God. Okay, but now maybe your encouragement partner can think, really? You've been trying for 6 months. You've been trying for 3 years to stop. No. Down to 20 from 30 is not good enough, okay? It should have been at least like down from 30 to 5, okay? Now you know, this is not going to motivate the poor person. You say, okay, well, let's go for a milkshake, man. You're down from 30 to 20. Awesome. Okay, anything else? You know, sometimes we just so easily judge. If you maybe struggle to sleep and you drink sleeping pills, tablets, and you say to your encouragement partner, you know what? I didn't drink one last night, and I slept. Praise God. And then your encouragement partner can say, yeah, but what about tonight? You must just be, you must stop forever. You know, it's not breakthrough. No, you just have a party and say, well done. Praise God. You know, just celebrate every little step. And make the person feel as if we've made progress. Because often, in when it comes to addiction, or when it comes to something we struggle with, or sin, or any weakness, you often feel you're one step forward, you're like 5 steps back. Hey? You know what I'm talking about? And if somebody is just going to celebrate that one step forward, it's going to encourage you to go another one. But if you get like, oh, no, this is not good enough, you are going to move backwards again. And the thing is, if we are moving backwards, we should still encourage. Okay, but that little, celebrating that little step is so important. Then the last one, caring in time of need. I've spoken about that. We need to point the person to Jesus. We shouldn't judge. We should pray. We should celebrate every next step, and we must care. And I want to throw it out there and really ask you to pray about caring for people. Is there somebody that you care for? Is it maybe just one person sometimes that your heart goes out to and you care? You really care. You are kind to that person. Okay, I want to challenge you with that. Sometimes we just want people to care for us. But when it comes to you caring for somebody else, you know, you don't even notice. You don't even notice that somebody is sick. And I'm as guilty as anybody, hey? I'm challenging myself on this at the moment. Let's just close with one last scripture. Then I'm gonna finish. Proverbs 18 verse 24. It says there are friends who destroy one another, but a real friend sticks closer than a brother. A real friend sticks closer than a brother. You know, that's why when we get married, we say in sickness and in health. For better or for worse. Because let me tell you, there come times in a friendship or in a marriage where the one gets sick, where the one is really struggling. And then that is the time where we need to remember our marriage vows. You know, when somebody is sick or somebody is going through a difficult time. And the same in a friendship. You know, there's a friendship, it's a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And we must ask ourselves, are we only there for our brothers and sisters in good times? And we can do fun things and we can do nice things. Or are we there for one another when there's real pain, real struggle, even a real weakness, is real sin that they struggle to get rid of? Are we there for one another? Amen. So I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you, for those of you who don't have somebody, we're gonna take you to the small groups as well, because I know many people are away for the weekend. We're gonna take you to the small groups and encourage people to just find somebody. And you, as I say, it's not primarily to be accountable to every second day to find the people or the person and say, oh, I've messed up again. No. It's just purely to be there for one another, to encourage one another, and to celebrate the person. Amen? Okay, I'm just going to pray for us. Listening, you can just come up. If you can just stand with me, I'm just going to pray for us. Then I'm finished. Father, I just want to thank you, Lord, for all these beautiful people. And I pray, God, as a congregation, that you will give us a heart for each other. Lord, you'll give us a heart to really care, to really celebrate, Lord Jesus, to really make an effort to celebrate each other's special work, each other's identity, and the other person's personality and uniqueness. Father, I pray that our church will have love in our midst, Lord, that people will be able to recognize our love, that they'll be able to see that, wow, we must be God's disciples because we love each other. I pray, God, for true compassion, for true companionship, Lord, for true friendships to develop in the church. God, I come against loneliness. I bind any spirit, Lord, that makes people feel that I'm not good enough. I don't belong here because I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough, I'm not perfect enough, Lord. I pray that we'll all realize that we all need each other, we all need help, we all need encouragement, we all need grace, Lord, because we all have weaknesses, we all have faults. We all need you and we all need each other. So I just pray, God, a blessing over these wonderful people, Lord. I pray that they will be encouraged in this church, Lord, and that we will encourage each other, that you will care, you will be there for one another. And I worship you, Lord. I thank you for your love in our midst. We worship you as our King and as our Lord.